Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head-on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening, and here we are on Sunday night live from Houston, Texas, and we have some wonderful guests with us tonight, some from Ohio, some from the great state of Florida, and we are on the fifth week of our Warriors of Hope series, and just excited about that. We want to make sure that next week we remind you, and we're going to remind you a couple times before the night's out, about next week. We have a huge program that I'm really looking forward to. We will be live on the radio and on the webcast video from 8 o'clock Central Time to 10 p.m. It will be a two-hour program, and you'll be able to log in to BBS Radio and find us right there, and we will you'll be able to see all of us. We'll have Joe and Darty and Christian and Consuelo and Roy. Who else? George is going to be there. Am I leaving anybody else out?
Judge Teske.
Oh, yeah, we can't forget Judge Stephen Teske. So that's going to be great. So looking forward to that, and we're just going to have a great time. A lot of information will be given next week, so we want to invite you to that. Make sure you tell your friends and family to join in on us next Sunday night. I'm going to introduce again our co-host for this special series that we've had, Dr. Joe and Darty Hendershot from Ohio. And it's good to have Darty back with us tonight. She had been being the new grandmother that she was on call for recently, and hope the baby, the grandchild, is doing okay. Noah, I believe, if I remember right. We've been praying for Noah. But welcome, Joe and Darty, and then we'll let you guys kind of lead us right into our guest this evening. Dr. Joe and Darty, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Williams.
So how did you all, first of all, how's Noah doing? Is Noah doing okay?
She's doing great. She's doing great. Had a little bit of complication, but she is healing well and should get to go home on Tuesday. So we are very thankful about that.
Well, we'll keep lifting up the child, and that's awesome news. Okay, tell us how you all have ran into George, our guest tonight, how the impact that he has made on you, and what makes here's always the question I like to start off with y'all. What makes him a warrior of hope, and what brings that attention and recognition to him? What has he done that deserves that? Joe? Darty?
Well, first of all, he's a child advocacy artist, and that's what he does by trade. But who he is as a person is a whole lot, is a whole different thing. I got to meet George at a conference. Well, it's been several years ago, and we just struck up a conversation, and we kind of had like minds and like spirits, and we just had a long conversation, and we became fast friends, started doing more and more conferences together. We started doing the National Wounded Student Conference about 5 years ago. George is one of our vendors, comes down and displays his artwork. He did a National Wounded Student artwork,
Reaching the Wounded
Student, mm-hmm. artwork for us and a poem. that just out of the goodness of his heart. And he's just a special person. He's been to all of our conferences. People line up to see his artwork. He is so talented, so gifted. But the bottom line is his heart is exactly who he says he is. He's a child advocate, and he is a true warrior of hope. He just, people are around him just because you like, when you're around George, you just want to be around George.
Right. Yeah, I'll piggyback off of that because I didn't meet him when Joe did, but the next year, I think it was at the conference. It's fun because I tend to man the table, if you will, and George has his booth. And so I feel like every time I meet George, I get to know him better. We get to have these amazing conversations. But I knew from the first time I met him that he has just a very special spirit about him. And I'll tell you how I knew that, because you couldn't get our kids away from his table.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They just wanted to be near George. They just wanted to talk to George. And George was so just amazingly patient with their questions, with their curiosity. And it's like he had this twinkle in his eye. I would say he ranks right up there with Santa Claus, you know? I mean,
wow.
The kids loved him. And, but really, it's just, I've had some conversations with him that just impressed me so much. And we'll go into some of those a little bit later, because there's one in particular I want to bring up in a little bit. But okay. That's how I've met George and how I've gotten to know George. And yeah, we'll be excited to talk some more.
Fantastic. Well, George E. Miller II is a child advocacy artist, and we're going to find out what Dr. Joe means by that through George. But, you know, what does that mean to us in the non-artistic world? A guest speaker, a classroom presenter whose artwork just reflects a passion and abiding love for children, and tremendous respect for those who educate and care for them. And I think that's why Dr. Joe and Darty and George relate so well together, because there's a respect for each other's gifts and how they care for the kids. George, you have created so many different artworks. First of all, I just want to welcome you to Breaking the Silence. Welcome to the show. Can you hear me all right from Florida?
I hear you fine. Thank you, Dr. Williams.
And what part of Florida are you in, George?
And I am in northern Florida. I am up in Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
Right at the top of Florida.
Okay, fantastic. Well, what does it mean to be a child advocacy artist? Well, I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've never heard that term before. I'd like to think that I invented that term, but before I go into that, I just want to say thank you for bringing me out on the show. I appreciate being here, and I appreciate being one of the Warriors of Hope. I am super thankful to Dr. Hendershot and to Darty, and both whom have inspired me tremendously. So the artwork that they tell you about, Reaching the Wounded Student, I created for them because they moved me so much. I listened to Dr. Hendershot speak, and the message was beautiful and the message was powerful, but that's not what moved me. What moved me was when I met the family and
yeah.
and how much love his adopted children had for him and for Darty. And I was impressed with Darty was taking a class to learn how to do her daughter's hair. I've been a single parent, and I know how hard that is. And I never thought to take a class. Darty, you didn't know I knew that about you. Someone told me that. But I thought that was so beautiful, and I thought that everything that they stood for, that they're not just standing up on a podium shooting out a message. They are living the message, and that's what truly inspired me. So as a child advocacy artist, I've struggled with defining my artwork. And so you can say I'm a portrait artist and I am a landscape artist, or you can talk about the medium that you work in. I work with oil paints, or I'm a pastel artist. And none of that seemed to fully describe what I do. And so I tell you I invented it, but actually someone told me, George, you are a child advocacy artist. I was spending my 30-minute spiel trying to explain who I am or what I do when it should only take about 30 seconds. And as I'm showing this woman who was an educator the artwork I do and why I do it, she told me, well, George, your artwork advocates for children. And I said, yes, that's right. I'm a child advocacy artist. That's kind of how it all came about. What does a child advocacy artist do? I'm still trying to figure all that out, Dr. Williams. As long as I've been doing it, something else will come up, and I say, okay, well, I guess I have to do that too. So unlike a portrait artist that just sits around and paint portraits, I have to go into schools and I have to talk to kids and I have to paint murals and with kids and teach them how to paint murals. And I have to create artwork for different organizations that are all around the country, actually. And so there's a great quote out there that says, go where there's no path and leave a trail.
Yes, and I was just getting ready to mention that George, you are taking a path and creating this role for other people to follow that have this kind of gift, since there aren't maybe any other child advocacy artists out there. So that's just wonderful. But you know, George, you didn't wake up one morning 25 years ago and say, I'm going to be a child advocacy artist. What caused you and how did you let this become your full-time work and passion? Because I just have a feeling by reading the short bio that I have on you that you had other things that you were involved with, and then all of a sudden the light bulb went off. Tell me about that journey briefly.
Okay, and I'm going to take you back a little bit further, Dr. Williams, because I think it's important to tell you how I became, a real artist, because I played around with my art for a long time, for many years, and I would sit at my kitchen table and draw pictures and sometimes portraits that I would sell to my coworkers for $20. I was a mailman in the city of Los Angeles. I delivered the mail, and I'd create some artwork sitting at home when I got off work. And one day I got off work. I did what I normally do. I did some sketches. I went to bed and I couldn't sleep. And I got up out of the bed and I put on a tape that someone had given me and had been urging me to listen to. And finally I popped this tape in. I can't sleep anyway. So I popped the tape and I listened to it. And the guy on the other end is a motivational speaker. And he's talking about living your dream and following your passion, and he's saying you have to be hungry. You got to be hungry and go for your life. And I got up out of my bed, Dr. Williams. This is a true story. I looked around my bedroom. I said, you know what? I have got to start taking my art more serious, because maybe one day I could be a real artist. And as I looked around my bedroom, I decided that I was going to turn my bedroom into an art studio. And the thing that was blocking my vision the most was that big old bed that was sitting there. I couldn't envision an art studio for the bed. So I got out of the bed. I snatched everything off of the bed. I lift up that top mattress. It's about midnight in the city of Los Angeles. I drag that top mattress down the stairs. I'm going to drag it out the front door, and I'm going to take it to the dumpster. The spirit has led me to throw this bed away. I get outside with the bed. This guy sees me. He says, are you throwing that away? I said, yes. He said, can I have it? Long story short, we took all of the bed to his house, put it together, and he was very thankful because he did not have a bed. I came back in, and I looked in my bedroom and said, oh my gosh, I just threw away my bed. But now I'm committed. Can you see that? Now I'm committed. Now I can envision an art studio. Now I can envision myself in this room that is an art studio. And that's how my life made its first turn into the direction that I am in now. And you fast forward to 1995, and a piece of my artwork appears in the movie The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. So it was that imagination, it was that commitment, and I believe it was the sacrifice that kind of set me on this road that I am currently on. Now, as far as becoming a child advocacy artist, that's also led by the Spirit. When the Spirit comes, he comes through other people. The Spirit reaches out to you however it can reach you. And this teacher, educator, came to me and asked me if I would come and talk to her kids and show them my artwork and tell them all about what I do for a career day. And went into her school, and I did that. She said, George, if you can sell some of your artwork to my teachers, you know, maybe that would be good, you know. So I did what she asked me to do, and I actually sold some work. And she came to me a few weeks later and said, George, did you sell any artwork while you were at my school? And I said, yes, I did sell some of my artwork. And she said, well, you should consider going to a teacher conference. And I said, what's a teacher conference? You mean like a PTA meeting? She said, no, there are conferences, and teachers come from all over the state. If the teachers at my school liked your artwork, the teacher at any school would like your artwork. That was probably the second step that got me onto this path. I ended up going, my first conference was the California League of Middle Schools. I went to the California League of Middle Schools. I was amazed about how many teachers, it seemed to me like when they cut the ribbon to open a conference, everybody came flooding into my booth, and I was already a nervous wreck, but I sold so much artwork. I went home that evening from San Diego to Los Angeles and got my wife and brought her back and said, you got to see this. You're not going to believe it. Now, teachers and educators, counselors, social workers, they're all telling, they're all my bosses. They all say, George, you need to do a piece of artwork that looks like this. You need to do a piece of artwork that addresses literacy. You need to do a piece of artwork that addresses dropout prevention. You need to do a piece of artwork that addresses resilience. And they're all guiding me and leading me into this direction. So when you go on my website and you click on a piece of artwork, and a paragraph will come up and tell you who I created it for and when I created it. And
wow.
There's an amazing organization behind every piece of artwork, Dr. Williams, the National Center for School Mental Health. So Nancy and Sharon and Sylvia, they say, George, we need you to do another piece this year. Your work is so beautiful and everybody loves it. The Child Welfare League of America, they were having their 100-year anniversary conference in the month of March. And unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, it was canceled. So they are the oldest nonprofit organization in the country that advocates for children. They were about to celebrate their 100-year anniversary. They invited me because I did artwork for them in 2008 and 2009. What an honor to be able to go there and be a part of that.
Yeah.
It's just so amazing. The National Federation of Families. I know your listeners have heard of the Safe Place Network, the National Alternative Educators, the International Reading Association, all these different organizations that need people to do what I'm doing. So if any of your listeners are artists out there, you need to be a child advocacy artist. There's a big need for people that can create artwork like this, that can reach our children, that can reach the people that reach our children, that can reach those counselors and social workers and educators and inspire them. Give them some love so that they can take that love and share it with the children.
So George, are you telling me if I called you tomorrow morning and said, hey, I have connections with the Los Angeles Postal Service Union, and they want to bring you back to be a postal carrier at double the rate of pay that you were making when you left. Would you want to take that job?
You know what, Dr. Williams? I would say,
I would say, in all sincerity, I hope that everyone out there gets their mail on time. But I'm not going to be the one that brings it to you.
I knew that would be the answer. Sorry, but that's a good answer, because I hear your passion, and that's what I love about Dr. Joe and Darty and every one of their guests that's been on here. I think that's why the Warriors of Hope is such an impact, because it has to have passion. And when you were mentioning two things in your little talk, just answer the question of commitment and sacrifice, about when you gave that bed away, that made all the difference. You took that step that crossed you over into what your divine purpose is for the rest of your life. And we're going to talk about that in greater detail on the other side of this first break. But if you want to call in, because I know there's some artists listening to us tonight, if you want to call in and comment or ask George a question, or Joe and Darty, either one, any of those, 888-627-6008. Don't touch the dial and stick with us. We have more right after this next commercial break. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020 will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination, called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life, and this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams, right here on BBS Radio. Well, but doggone, that sounds like a movie that should be coming out. Wow. well, welcome back, I tell you. Hey, yeah, Darty and Dr. Hendershot, what any thoughts that you have right now listening to, because I love the first segment here. George just kind of opened up his heart and poured it out. What things came up in your mind while you was listening to him share?
Well, two things. First of all, I just want to say that his artwork hangs throughout our house and is in our kids' rooms. So we love his artwork personally, that it hangs in our house. Second of all, I guess the thing that really struck me as an educator, when I had to make cuts, I used to be a principal, assistant principal, and I had to make some cuts in the schools. The one thing I would cut would be the arts. Financially, those would be the first things that were cut. And I'm embarrassed to say that. I'm not proud of the saying that, Dr. Williams or George. But what hit me all of a sudden right between the eyes is I went from a traditional schooling principal, assistant principal, cutting the arts, and I went to work in treatment centers as a principal and juvenile locker facilities to teach and be a principal. And guess what the first class I would put them in? I would put them in art and music therapy. So the very things that I took away from kids were the very things that I was giving them back to help heal them. And so I think the big piece that George gives, it has such a healing piece for people, the arts, the music, art and music teachers out there. You know, this is just for you, and to have George on the show and education, I hope educators across the world know the importance of the therapy that ART has on our, not just wounded children, but all children. So that's what really struck me.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier that something has stuck out, and this is not from a conversation that has happened right this moment, but a conversation that actually in March, when we first spoke with you, Dr. Williams, I had been talking with George, and he said something so profound to me from his perspective as a creative person. And George, I'm hoping you remember this because I would love for you to expand on it the way that you did with me. But share with people what you shared with me about your feelings about Time Out.
Oh, yeah.
You remember?
I definitely remember. So first I would like to say that we're all creators. We're made in the spirit of the Supreme Creator. So children are the most natural of creators. And we tend sometimes to take that away or to stagnate them from that, being able to be creative and show who they are. And that's why a lot of times we'll start to have problems with kids, because they don't have the opportunity to show the good that is in them. And then once they become a problem, then they call up George and say, "Hey, George, can you work with this kid with some art? Because we think that will reach him." That's what you're dealing with, Joe. But what Darty is talking about is quiet time. Is that everything I have ever created that was good came out of the quiet. And I teach other artists that if you are working on a piece of artwork and it is not coming out the way you want it to come out, that you probably need to add some quiet. So what we have to understand is how beautiful the quiet is, what a special gift it is. That's how you learn how to hear the spirit or build your intuition. It won't come about any other way. And I hear sometimes the teachers will tell a child, "You go sit over there and for 5 minutes and you take some quiet time." And we almost give them the idea that quiet time is punishment, when it is the exact opposite. So we have to be careful how we talk to our kids about the quiet. It's a very important place in our lives, in our hearts, and without it, we won't learn how to get in touch with the spirit. And even children can do that, and probably better than the adults can, but they need to experience some quiet time in a very noisy world.
And that's what just hit me so hard when you said that, because I think I grew up in an age of, you know, you got sent to your room as if that was a bad thing if you were blowing it, you know. And as we went through foster training and things like that, they kept talking about these things called time-ins with children who are wounded to create connection with them. And so, you know, that made sense to me. But then what you said took it a step further for me as well, because what we're seeing right now are a lot of adults who never learned how to be with themselves in the quiet and what to do with that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what we do, we fill that time with social media, with other things, because we feel like our minds have to be busy all the time, and we haven't learned that being still is okay. And not only is it okay, but like you said, it's a beautiful time. And so I just really loved that conversation with you, and I wanted you to be able to share that with other people.
Thank you. Thank you, Dari. We always have good conversation. And
I know. We could probably fix the whole world.
Hey, George, tell me, let's dig a little deeper about the quiet and the noise of what's going on, because when we were talking just the other day, you hit on this, but you went at a little different angle, but I like both of these sides of it. But it seems like the kids are so overwhelmed with noise and activity around them. How, when you go into these classrooms and you teach and you present and you do workshops and you let the kids have hands-on time, why does art help them quiet the noise around and they can start focusing on maybe what's going on inside of them into their work? Can you tell me how that works from an artist's perspective?
From an artist's perspective, is you want to give the kids something to do that they can put themselves into. So something that can capture them. And then the other thing that you want to do, and Darty kind of touched on this, is you have to be an example for them. So if I am in there and I am working on a piece of art at the same time as the kids are, and I am quiet, then that will help them to be quiet. If I feel like I'm going to have to put some music on, sometimes I'll do that. I'll put on some Kenny G and I'll turn it down low until they almost have to be quiet just to hear it. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to reach our children's imaginations. So imagination is going to be the key to everything. So if you can talk them into, or what I like to do is take this piece of paper and scribble all over the paper. And then I give it to a child and say, look into this paper and tell me what you can find and everything that you can find. And then take your pencil or your marker that's a different color and outline it. And that way, you're developing their imagination. And in the process of developing their imagination, they're going to get quiet. They're going to listen a little closer to their own inner self. We were teaching kids about their imagination when they were babies. You're going to be teaching Noah about imagination without even knowing that you're teaching it to him. When you take that spoon and you're trying to get Noah to eat some cereal, and you take the spoon and you're flying it through the air and you're getting a little closer to it, a little closer to Noah's mouth, and then, oh, there it is, Noah's, and he takes that spoonful of food, and you think that what you've done is you tricked him into eating his food, but what you were doing is you were developing his imagination. Albert Einstein says imagination is more important than knowledge. If you can touch on a child's imagination, you can quiet that soul. It's noisy because that's all they know is noise. We're going to set examples, and we're going to allow our children to see us enjoying quiet time. And then we are going to do things to reach their imagination that will quiet their soul. When we were kids, we played the lava game. You guys probably played this game where the carpet is made of hot lava. You got to get here. You got to get from the kitchen into the dining room, and you got to climb over stuff. And don't touch the carpet because it's lava and your feet will burn up. That is developing a child's imagination, and that is the most important thing that I think we can do right now, is develop that imagination. So, yeah, I think to kind of sum it all up, the quiet time, it will come, but it's not going to come tomorrow. They're not going to be quiet for you automatically. You have to work at it because society has worked at giving them a very loud art studio. When I come into my art studio and I don't know what I will be creating, but I have a theme in mind, then I come in and you don't hear any noise. I can hear the sound of the pencil on the paper. That's the only noise. I am giving the spirit a chance to speak to me. Once I know what I'm creating, then my imagination is no longer needed. It's now it's creativity kicks in. And creativity, I've been doing that for 30 years, so that's not a difficult part. So now I can turn on a little bit of music and listen to the music. But in the beginning, when you need your imagination, when you need some guidance from the spirit, you need to have quiet. And we have to teach our kids how important that quiet is, so they start to understand that the messages that they're going to get, they're going to get from the quiet. They are not going to get it with that radio blasting.
Wow, that's good. And did you say, It did. Did you say Kenny G?
Yeah, I love, you know what, he's nice and mellow, and you know, artists, sometimes we don't want to hear any words, because words can kind of steer you off in a different direction. So Kenny G is pretty much all a musical. And I
haven't heard of Kenny G, and I haven't heard from him in years. That's amazing.
I told you how old I am.
No, I think I have you beat. I think I have you beat. When you go in also into these workshops and things, how important are the different types of art that the kids get involved with, like finger painting or drawing or sketch, you know, all the different mediums that you have, or clay work and all that? How does it matter what kind, or is it just the fact that you're allowing them to expand their minds?
Some kids are going to gravitate to some things, and it doesn't too much matter what it is. You just want them creating. I do a phone call with my three daughters. They're all grown, but we all get on the phone together, and the four of us get on the phone together, and I tell them to continue to be creative. So whether you are creating the next Martha Stewart recipe, or whether you are painting a picture, or whatever it is that you're doing, you need to continue to create, especially during these times, because these are some pretty trying times, and things can get into your head right now and get you depressed and make you feel indifferent about the world. But if you are following the nature of what you've been created in, which is to be a creator, then you will survive this time. In fact, you will thrive in this time. So I tell them, create, just constantly create something. Make sure my grandkids are creating something. You can go over to Home Depot and just buy a bunch of stuff. It doesn't hardly too much matter. Get you some PVC pipes, little pieces of wood. Some kids will create something from what you bring them. Give them all this stuff and say, show me what you can make out of this. So I would say, no, it might be a dance move. I know a lot of the kids love to dance at the schools that I go into and show off their dance moves. So maybe they created a new dance move. Maybe they created a sculpture. It doesn't too much matter what it is they create. They just need to create. And they need to understand that there's beauty in whatever it is that they create. And so we have to look for the beauty. I like to get kids to draw fish, because you can go on the internet and you can Google ugly fish, and oh my goodness, you see the ugliest fish that you have ever seen in your life, and they are real. They swim around in the ocean. They're alive. When you see one, he looks like, oh my goodness, the ugliest fish I ever saw. But then when you see a school of them, and there are 100 or 200, and they all look the same, now it's beautiful. So I like the kids to draw a fish, and this is going to be an Imani fish. This is going to be your fish, and draw it however you would draw it. And you never have to worry about, oh, mine doesn't look as good as his, or mine doesn't look as good as hers. Yours is beautiful, exactly the way it is. And if there were a whole school of them, then you would see how beautiful it is. So, yes, I think if I can get them painting, because that's what we're doing, some kids are going to gravitate more to that than others. There's some creative, we need some dancers to go in and teach that to the kids. We need some sculptors to go in and teach that to the kids. We as artists, as a community of artists, we should be in the schools. We should be showing kids how to find themselves in creation.
Fantastic. You know, I'll tell you what. Go ahead. Go ahead, Darty.
Well, I just wanted to quick say that right now, you know, all children are at home doing distance learning. And from a personal perspective, I can tell you that the art projects have been the absolute favorite thing for the kids. They work so intently on those. Cataio has spent hours in his room, and then he comes out and he's made a vase out of paper, like a legitimate vase out of paper. Mm-hmm. And he is so proud of that, but he loves working with his hands that way. And so I'm just so thankful they're still giving the kids art projects to work with, because I think it's just been a beautiful time for them to be quiet and really just, you know, let their imaginations go. So I can testify as a mama that this is a good thing.
Great point, great point. Yeah, tell you what, we're going to take our... We're going to take our last commercial break. If you want to jump in with a question or a comment, feel free to call 888-627-6008. We have one more segment with the child advocacy artist, George E. Miller, and we'll be back with that segment right after this commercial break. Mark your calendar for Sunday night, May 10th, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time for a live video world webcast event right here on BBS Radio, Warriors of Hope. Warriors of Hope, this video webcast will feature co-host Joe and Darty Hendershot and guest Christian Moore, Lieutenant Colonel Consuelo Kickbush, Roy Jarez Jr., Judge Stephen Teske, and George Miller. Don't miss this live video 2-hour life-changing event, Warriors of Hope, May 10th, 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time, right here on BBS Radio. Yeah, that's going to be a dandy. Dr. Joe, what do you think? Darty, this is from you guys' book. That's getting ready to come out shortly that you guys are working on. Have we done it justice? Have we expressed what you wanted the people to hear before they pick up your book and why they ought to get that book when it comes out?
Well, you know, the book is really about, we've been doing this since 2006, traveling around the world, meeting people and meeting warriors of hope for wounded children and children altogether. And, you know, yes, everybody that's been on the show is a true warrior of hope. George is in fact, I'm going to give a little plug for George right now. George and I talked just about 2 or 3 weeks ago about him being on the show, and he went to his art studio and he created a warrior of hope picture, painting that is beautiful on his website. And it's about all the warriors of hope today helping with this terrible pandemic, all the warriors of hope that are helping across the world. And it's a beautiful picture. And so, yes, it's met the mark for sure, Dr. Williams.
That's great. And I do I really want to invite everybody, George, to your website, which would be what? If somebody wanted to get on and look at that right now, and all the other artwork that you have created and in creating, what would be the best way to do that, George?
So the best thing to do and go straight to the website is www.gem. Those are my initials, George Ernest Miller, gemartstudio.com. And start scrolling through, click on gallery, click on media, just kind of take your run of the website and see what you can find. You'll find that new piece, Warriors of Hope, inspired by the Hendershots. You'll find that on there. You'll find Reaching the Wounded Student. That was also inspired by Dr. Hendershot. I don't know if I can do this or not, but I would love to read you that poem that goes with Reaching the Wounded Student. May I read that?
Oh, absolutely, you may. So give us the background of this. What's this poem about? Or okay. It goes along with this picture? Is that correct?
It, not exactly that one, but the first time that I met the Hendershots, their organization is called Hope for the Wounded. And so they put on a conference called Reaching the Wounded Student. And so I created a piece of artwork for that. And then I want to tell you that I had created the artwork for it, and I was driving down the freeway, and the thought hit me to write a poem to go along with it. I thought that would be a nice
surprise for the Hendershots. They would like that. And that thought hit me while I was driving. So I took my pad that I keep on the side, and I scratched a little note, write a poem for the Hendershots for reaching a wounded student. And before I could get that written down all the way, another thought hit me. And I said, wow, that's a beautiful thought, too. Maybe that'll be a line in the poem. And then another thought hit me. And when that thought hit me, I knew what was happening, Dr. Williams, that the mm-hmm. Spirit is bringing me this poem right now while I'm driving down the freeway. And if I don't get it, I may lose it. So I take the first right turn off the freeway, the first exit. I take the first right turn I can take off of the street and pull into the first parking lot I can get to, and I start writing this poem, and it starts pouring out of me faster than most any other poem has ever poured out of me. And as I looked around, you know, after I finished this poem, it's, wow, this is really nice. I would like to read it to somebody, but I'm the only one in the car. And the second thought that came after that is, okay, where am I? Because I just pulled off the freeway so quickly I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. And as I looked around, I was sitting in a church parking lot. And I feel like the Spirit led me, and it led me to this church parking lot because that's where the reception was the best. And that's why the poem poured out so quickly for me. So I would love to read that poem for you.
Please share. Please share.
It's called Reaching the Wounded Student. I witnessed an angel lift a child from a place of dark despair. She raised his chin, caressed his face, and gently smoothed his hair. I watched her touch his tiny hand to make him feel secure. He gazed into her caring eyes and knew her love was pure. And though I never heard a sound, she asked him what was wrong. She listened intently as he spoke. His words became her song. Her compassionate way assured him he knew she would always be near. It was that love that cured him and washed away his fear. And when I saw a subtle smile upon his face appear, it made me feel so good inside, I wanted to stand and cheer. I witnessed an angel lift a child from a place of dark despair. I am thankful to this very day that you, my angel, were there.
Wow, that is awesome.
And now I'm
that
crying.
That is awesome.
I'm done. That's it.
Yeah, that's good. That's deep too, George. That's really good.
That's nice, and I feel like that comes from being able to follow your intuition, to be able to listen when the Spirit is bringing you something, and to be able to quiet yourself enough to hear the Spirit. And that comes with a little bit of practice. And we have to start right now with our kids, and we have to teach them that the quiet is good. Quiet time is good time. And get as much of it in as you can. And it's life-changing. We have to learn how to follow our passions and what God put us down here to do. If you go to a hospice and you ask all the people who are on their last month or week or whatever of life what they would do differently if they could live their lives all over again, and almost all of them will answer you exactly the same. They will all say that they had wished they had lived the life that they were put down here to do, what they feel like God put them here to do, and not the life that other people had set up for them. So
yeah,
you will learn how to do that if you can just spend some time with quiet and the peace that comes with that.
Well, and don't
that's
you
so good.
Like too, that when we start to learn how to be in the quiet with ourselves, it's almost like within the poem when it talks about the adult listening to the child. But I think that when we learn to slow down and listen and be quiet ourselves, then we're also more intuitive with other people as well. And then the connections come. And that's the artwork. That's the masterpiece, isn't it? The connection that we can really make with other people. Yeah. So Shoot, yeah, we might need another hour. You aren't kidding, Greg. I can go on and on.
Well, it's just the truth, because this hits something that I don't believe is talked about very often anymore. And I think when we do pause and reflect and look inside and listen to the spirit, like George has been mentioning the whole show, we not only find out who we are, but we find out how we affect other people, and we start mm-hmm. caring about them also. And if we can get our world to do that, it's going to be a different place than what it is now. And
it'll be a whole different place. It'll be a whole different world. And that's what we want. So when I create a piece of artwork, I hope that it reflects the world that God maybe gave me a glimpse of. So I get glimpses of a world where it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what religion you are. It doesn't matter that we can all find peace and love right here on the planet. I hope that the message in my artwork is love one another. I think you see that in all of the pieces of work. And like Darty is saying, when we're quiet and we learned how to connect, then that's how I can connect to Darty and Joe, because they obviously spend some quiet time. I spend some quiet time. Both of our antennas are up. And when your antennas are up, you're going to get signals from other people. And I hope all this is not too crazy for y'all, but it's real. And if you spend a little bit of quiet time, you'll see that it's real. So artists, we spend a lot of quiet time. I go out and when there isn't this virus going around, 2 and 3 conferences a month, and I meet hundreds of people at every conference, and I look forward to getting back to my studio, to the quiet time where I can be recharged, and then I'm ready to go back out there again. Very important.
Yeah. Now, George, we only have a few minutes left, but I want to just kind of turn the corner with the little time that we have left. Why is your passion, from what I've heard this whole show, pointed towards the child, the wounded child? Why is it in your own life, in your heart, your passion, in your artwork, in your ministry now, which it is a ministry of how you're helping other people, pointed towards the wounded child? Why?
Okay, so I went to a conference once, Dr. Williams, and the keynote speaker, it was maybe about 400 women, and I was standing in there with the keynote. I was one of the few men that was there, and the speaker said that if any woman in that audience had been raped, molested, abused, touched inappropriately, raise your hand up. And Dr. Williams, I kid you not, it seemed to me that every single hand went up inside of that room, and that every woman had been through something that was inappropriate, to put it mildly. And I mention that because I think that we have all been through some pretty bad stuff in our lives, and the majority of people. And me, myself included, and I like to try to focus on what's positive. So there are all these ingredients that went into making George Miller. So some of those ingredients had to be a little bit rough in order to get him to be the cake that we were baking. We had to put it in this 450 degree oven, or it wouldn't have became what it became. And so he had to suffer through that. And so I can tell you about how hot the oven was, or I can tell you that I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I went to an elementary school called Liberty School, which is now an international school because it has children going there from every continent on the planet. That when I went to church
as a little boy that I went to a Presbyterian church for Sunday school, and there were all kinds of walks of life of people at that Presbyterian church. But as I got older, I went to a Methodist church, and in between somewhere in there, I went to a Church of Holiness. So I've moved around a lot. The Shadyside Boys Club was 10 minutes from my house. I have met warriors of hope from day one in my life all the way through to today. And I can tell you unequivocally, warriors of hope come in every shape, size, color, nationality, and religion. So, yeah, it's a lot of things that have went in, a lot of ingredients that went into making George Miller. But the most important thing that I would like you to take is that I am trying to give back the talent that God gave me. So he gives me this talent. And if I could sit down and be quiet and say, what is the best thing I could do with this talent to say thank you, God? And I think the answer is that I can create for his children. And that's how good. I got here. That's all I know to tell you.
That's good. And I tell you what, no matter what temperature your oven was on, George, I'm here to let you know your cake turned out pretty darn good. And I really believe that, and I appreciate who you are. Joe and Darty, give last thoughts here as we close out the program, and we'll let George say one or two more things before we close out. But what's on your mind right now in the last couple minutes that we have?
Well, I don't think there's much I can say to follow up what George already said, and he certainly is a warrior of hope. And you can tell why he's a warrior of hope. We actually did a presentation last year called The Art of Teaching Wounded Students, and he's just not just a creative artist, but he's an amazing speaker to the audiences that listen to him. But he's a beautiful person and a great family friend.
And I think just what he said a moment ago when he talked about warriors of hope that have stepped into his life all along. And Dr. Williams, you've asked, you know, if this series has been everything that we wanted it to be. And I think if anybody out there sits and says, hey, you know, I could go and I could do this with the kids in my community or the kids at my school or, you know, whatever, I want people to recognize themselves in these warriors of hope that are basically representatives of who all of us could be in our communities, yes, in our schools, you know. And I just think that that's so exciting. And so I appreciate that George said that, because I think that sums it up beautifully.
Yes, it does. And people, if they want to get in touch with you, George, give us the best way that our listening audience can get in touch. Is it through your website or your email? Which one? If it is, give us what that would be.
So I'm going to give you my website, because if you go to my website, you'll find my email, you'll find my phone number.
Good.
Okay. I'm not hard to reach. But my website is www.gemartstudio.com, and the GEM, the gem, is my initials.
Fantastic. And I tell you what, George, it's been an honor to have you here with us tonight. And we have a lot of educators that listen. We have a lot of social workers and counselors and that listen, and professionals and physicians and all kinds of different people that listen to the program. And if you are in need, because I believe the conference schedules are starting to open up again, if you're in need of somebody to come in that will give you a special, different angle than what you're used to, and using art in that way of discussion, I think George would be an excellent choice. Contact him at this gemartstudio.com website, and I'm sure he will be glad to answer back and give you all the details on that. And George, it's been an honor. Thank you for being with us this evening.
Thank you very much, Dr. Williams. I truly appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come out and tell you what I'm all about. And so I thank you very much. And without a doubt, thank Joe. I'll be talking to him probably tomorrow sometime. So thank you.
We'll,
thank you, Darty.
We'll
I love you, and I'm glad you were there.
Love you too, George.
That's great. We're going to have everybody back on again next Sunday night, and maybe we'll get to see, everybody can see if they're not on your website. And right now they'll be able to see maybe your artwork through the web cam next Sunday night. So we'll have everybody back together with all the guests of this Warriors of Hope series next Sunday night right here on Breaking the Silence from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time on BBS Radio, and you can get right on there through the webcam on that station, and we will be broadcast completely around the world. So thank you all for being with us tonight. As we always close out every show, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what situation you are in, I want you to know that there is always, always hope. And take the words from George tonight that no matter what's happened to you, turn it into positive. And things in your life, whatever's negatives happen, turn it into positive and offer hope to other people. But there's always hope for you. I promise you that. Join us right here next week for a very special Breaking the Silence program. God bless you. Have a great week. Thank you all.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1, for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.